Hi, everybody. This is the Pacifica Affiliates Task Force. I'm Jim Bennett, one of the co-chairs of the task force and also affiliates director on the PNB. And Teresa, will you just mention the names of the people who are on the call?
Chandra Hopman, are you here? Is Chandra on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Richard Uzel, are you here? Is Richard
I'm
on?
Here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Jessica Apollinar.
Okay. Here.
Thank you. And I'm here, Teresa Allen from KTFT. Mitch Cohen? No. Kathy Davis? No. Janet Coleman? No. Campbell Johnson?
Here.
Thank you. Dina Colbert? No. Athea Wangaza? No. Jim Bennett?
I am here.
All right. Ursula Rudenberg?
Here.
Okay. Is Joe Wanzala on the call? Or Kim Kaufman? Or Lamont?
Somebody's water's boiling.
Sorry. I just made
okay.
some tea.
Okay. So I think that's our roll call. Is there anyone whose name I didn't call? Okay.
Well, we're going to start off with having tea with Ursula, and she's going to give us a report on her recent trip to Argentina and anything else that she wants to talk about in terms of the affiliates program.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would like, this is Teresa, I would like to say something. I did send out 4 sets of minutes, and we should approve the minutes if we can. I did send them out, plenty of notice.
All right. Did everyone get those minutes?
I may have, but I haven't had an opportunity to peruse them. I will look for them and try to do that very briefly, shortly.
Could we put the approval of these minutes on the agenda after the report from the affiliate?
From Ursula, sure. Let's do that.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So without further ado, Ursula, you are free to do whatever you like.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll first report a little bit on the MR concert, conference. As most of you know, thanks to the efforts of Teresa Allen and radio engineer Mike Brown, there was a response to Jim Ellinger's challenge to have Pacifica represented at AMARC. I think it was kind of a stroke of intuitive wisdom on Jim's part to ask that we be there. And so there was a kind of a grassroots fundraising effort where people all over the country donated $20 to $100 to help pay for me to go down and represent Pacifica and help represent the United States at AMARC. I want to thank Teresa for that. I think it's a good demonstration of the ability that there is potential within the affiliates network to raise money without interfering with the listening areas of Pacifica stations. So I thought it was a good demonstration of that power, and I appreciated your efforts, Teresa, in that area. It was an amazing trip. It just my mind is still kind of trying to grasp the enormity of what AMARC represents, because it really literally represents practically the whole world except the area we're in. North America is not officially represented in AMARC, and apparently I get the impression that was by design, actually originally to mitigate the influences of North America on the rest of the world as it evolves. There was a meeting of North American folks. There was maybe about 25 of us there, and there was a discussion about whether there would be an interest to suggest to AMARC that North America be represented, have an official chapter like other areas of the world. And apparently this issue had come up at the last AMARC conference, which was, I think, 2 years ago. these conferences don't come around real often. They come anywhere from 2 to 4 years, in, you know, at a time, you know, in periods in between them. So the question on the table was, did we want to make a request? And after some discussion, the I made a motion that we form a committee to approach the major community radio players in the United States, including, you know, the organizations that deal with community radio in the U.S. and Canada, and any other, you know, player in our field, to get some sort of consensus about how we would want to be represented, and if we actually, you know, have a commitment to that. There was a feeling there wasn't enough outreach work had been done to really warrant any sort of proposal to AMARC. And so we formed a committee with the kind of reminder by the older folks that this had been done before, so that, you know, there was kind of a need to follow through. And the committee, I think the people that have volunteered to be on the committee are Jim Ellinger, who used to be the North American person who sat on the AMARC board. He is not any longer. I'm going to have to use descriptions instead of last names, because I admit I don't have everybody's last names. Jerome, who is a producer from KSVR, who also is a Native American, and so he was very closely involved with indigenous initiatives that happened at the conference. Myself, Norm Stockwell from WORT, Frida Weirden from, can't remember the name of the station, but they're up in Vancouver. She also produces Wings, the feminist news service. Pete Treatish from Prometheus Radio Project. Stuart and Sylvia, I can't remember their last name right now, which I'm kind of embarrassed, but they are producers of a show, Latin American Issues, and they're also at the Vancouver station. Sylvia is from Guatemala herself, and she was voted onto the board of AMARC, so she, in a way, is our representative now on the AMARC board. And Gretchen, who's also last name I don't remember, and she is also from, she's from CKUT, which is the radio station in Montreal at the university there. And I'm happy to say that also at the conference, she finally signed the papers to make CKUT an official Pacifica affiliate. And I guess this our job now is to, first of all, get information out to North Americans about what happened at the conference, and to begin the outreach work of figuring out if the various organizations and stations in the United States are interested in actually forming some sort of North American presence, and if so, what that would look like. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. The idea is that by the next AMARC conference, we should know if we do or do not want to make a proposal that North America become part of the rest of the organization, and if so, what the terms are. And I think the general consensus was that on one side, North America can provide technology and some degrees of in experience to the other countries. I think more than anything, the technology is what we have the most to offer. On the other hand, we have a whole lot of experience from these community radio stations that we could benefit from, and certainly, you know, not being isolated from the rest of the world, being at a conference like this really makes you realize how hard it is to be isolated from the rest of the world, and how globalization is really marching forward, and how much everybody in the world is benefiting from talking to each other except us. It was kind of an odd thing to be an American there, because we were kind of the outsiders. And also, quite frankly, how technology is leapfrogging past American technology in many ways, in very kind of lightweight and mobile forms, with, you know, through cell phones. Most people in the third world have cell phones more than they have computers, and so the technology is kind of leaping ahead in those areas. So it was very interesting in that way. I think there were about 500 people at the conference, I think about 87 countries were represented. There were some, you know, positions made by AMARC at the end. I don't have a comprehensive list in front of me, but there was definitely one in support of indigenous members. I think what they did is they required from now on to have an indigenous member on the board of directors of AMARC, and our own Jerome from the United States was the person who was allowed to announce that resolution to the body. There was also a resolution protecting journalists against governmental violence, and there was a resolution protecting Bolivians because apparently Bolivian community radio is under fire in its country, and there were a number of other resolutions. And then there's always a prize given out for basically service to some station and or to some group, and this year it was given out to the Haitian radio community network for supporting the people during the February 2010 earthquake. And Jim Ellingen was a big part of that. He went down there and had a lot to do with getting the radio station started up again, I think using solar energy, actually. So those are kind of the broad strokes of what happened at the conference. There were a lot of workshops. I think the most interesting workshop to us was one on networks, where I listened to a lot of different countries describing what kind of radio networks they have and, you know, what roles they had played in their country. And it gave me kind of a growing awareness. So like when people kind of said to me, well, who are you? The light went on. I was like, well, I'm here representing the network of community radio in the United States. You know, and it was kind of a cool thing to see that in perspective to all these other radio networks around the world and what they're doing. So at the end of the workshop, very inspiring stories about what these networks are doing. Most community radio around the world is really dealing with life and death and struggling for democracy. There, we decided to begin working on some sort of communication between networks around the world. And so that's someplace where Pacifica can really, become part of a dialogue, which I think will be very meaningful to us and very interesting. What I learned is that a lot of community radio is being built up in real time right now around the world. A lot of countries are struggling for legislation to give them space on the dial and to protect them. Argentina just had a breakthrough, what they call their media law, which basically protects 30% of the dial for non-commercial radio community, and it designates community radio as a particular type of radio in and of itself and has pretty severe restrictions on localism to prevent any sort of, consolidation from happening. So they're pretty excited about it. They had brought this to President Kirchner because after the democracy was established in Argentina, somehow the media part of it just didn't get taken care of and didn't get taken care of and kind of fell behind. And finally, community radio got together and brought the president their own set of regulations that they wanted to have legislated. And Kirchner basically presented this set of rules to all of the media, all the community media groups in the country, and had them caucus and go through it and tweak it. And when it was so, it was really a national participation. It's kind of wonderful to hear about this type of thing. That people are practicing this level of media democracy. And when they had all caucused over it, she brought it back. She got it passed through the legislation pretty quickly. And then the corporate media or the commercial media, sued. And it went through a protracted period of a series of many, many court cases that were kind of handled by the public with street heat. And so finally after that whole...
Handled by the public with what?
Demonstrations. basically, they just took to the streets every time there was a ruling that they that was, you know, against community radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I, one thing I learned, Argentinians love to take to the streets, so it's, you know, it's definitely part of the culture. So there was lots of street heat over this, and it got passed, and it stuck. And so they're extremely thrilled with their, you know, media law, which in a way is kind of comparable to what we did in the 1970s, except it's better than what we have. They have 30% of the dial. So it was so of course they're inspiring all of South America and much of the world with this kind of legislation. So, you know, I didn't realize how much community radio has been built up in the last 20 years. There's been an enormous amount of activity in terms of bringing this type of media to many, many countries in a most determined fashion, and really it is a matter of life and death in most cases. So it was definitely a different perspective on community radio. I felt in many ways it was a less cynical dialogue and a perhaps more meaningful dialogue than kind of what we have in the United States. There was less insulation from the proximity of danger and violence and authoritarianism, and in some ways I felt it was extremely helpful as an American to not be isolated from this kind of dialogue because of the level of sophistication that comes with it. And I was particularly blown away by what the Ghanese Community Radio Network is doing. They've established a form of communication and holding meetings that just blew me away. I mean, with the level of just communication that they are promoting there, it's just really, really awesome. It's kind of a mixture of tribal tradition together with modern philosophy and psychology, and it's just amazing. So, you know, there was just endless stories, and I basically talked to as many people as I could. I gave out a lot of CDs from Pacifica. Brian had given me a lot of the CD about American political elections. That kind of was a head-scratcher for a lot of people about American conventions. It's pretty foreign to them. But he also gave me a lot of CDs of Che Guevara in New York City, and boy, that went like hotcakes. People were fascinated by that. Most people didn't know about Pacifica and were interested to hear it. They did know Amy Goodman, and she showed up and gave the keynote speech, which people received very well. Yes, they did teach us to tango, and they took us to the site of one of the prisons where people were disappeared, and told us about the excavation and the research that's gone into figuring out what happened there, and showed a movie, and actually one of the women who survived the imprisonment came to speak to us, which was very moving. And I also had dinner with a man who's a public prosecutor who is involved with prosecuting criminals from the times of the dictatorship, and that was also very sobering to hear his story. They did literally take people into airplanes and push them out of the airplanes into the ocean, and it was pretty horrifying to hear what, you know, went on during those years. So it was a good reminder, you know, of how governments can go crazy. I think that's the best summary I can give in a short period of time. It's very inspiring. It would be of great help to us to connect more with these stations in other parts of the world, just because of the energy and the vision that comes with, you know, having your activities reflected in another culture for other goals. And in the end, it's like it's always about democracy. It's amazing how this is just a universal impulse connected with democracy. I mean, the word democracy was used more at this conference than any single word I heard. And it's just amazing how everybody understood in general that we were all doing the same thing, just in many different forms. I did get a lot of business cards from a lot of people around the world who were interested in communicating with us in one form or another. And so, you know, starting to build up an international Rolodex, which I would like to make available to anybody that, you know, would like to connect with somebody outside the world. I did speak somewhat at some length with the gentleman who was kind of head of the English network, and there's definitely interest in communication there, especially because of the language compatibility. And there, we did get an affiliation was not a big thing at this conference, but there is a station in very, very far south in South America where there's actually an American who's down there as one of the producers, and they are going to affiliate. We kind of passed each other, so we weren't able to do it there, but they have decided to affiliate with Pacifica. So we actually did get two affiliates out of this conference, which was pretty good considering that there was a huge language barrier going on the whole time. So, and, you know, most people are not interested right now in programming from the United States. They're very, very locally focused. And so if anybody, you know, wants to hear more about it, I obviously, you can tell I could talk about it for a long time. So I'd be happy to, you know, tell people more about it who wanted to know more, you know, outside of this call.
What was the name of the station in Canada? Was it KUT?
CKUT.
CKUT.
It's at McGill College.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And they're a great station. Really very, very good station. And they actually cover, they have a lot of Pacifica programs already, so it's really more formality with them. We did go to some radio stations in Buenos Aires, and they were pretty mind blowing. I mean, oh my God, they have like restaurants in the station, and they're just amazing, really to die for.
You know, if we had restaurants in some of the Pacifica stations, I'm sure I would get indigestion.
Well, these people are definitely not getting indigestion. They are having a lot of fun. That's very clear. And it is definitely a very high-spirited, you know, thing going on. There was one station that was actually doing live broadcasting at the conference, and it was really striking how many young people were basically running the show, and the really high spirits that there was definitely a very high-spirited thing. So there, you know, there's a lot of positive energy going on there. We did get another affiliate. In the past 2 weeks, and God, my memory is failing me. They are in Gap, Pennsylvania. WLRILP. And other than that,
How did they become an affiliate? Did you reach out to them, or did they reach out to you, or?
Actually, I think what happened originally was that I do have an agreement with Democracy Now that they ask when they get an affiliate, that they ask whether they would like to affiliate with Pacifica instead of them.
Oh, nice.
And so this was one of the stations where Angie let me know about them, and so I contacted them. And they did decide to affiliate with us. And there's about five stations right now that are kind of in that situation where I've contacted them, and they're thinking about whether to affiliate with us.
Did you say 10?
It's about five stations right now that are in that situation.
Uh-huh.
That have come to me through Democracy Now, and they're kind of, you know, deciding what to do. Other than that, Jim, you recently raised a concern, which is, I guess as we all know, there's a lot of change happening at Pacifica right now, and a lot of turmoil, and one at two major stations, and one of the things that happens is that programs that are being syndicated nationally, people forget to tell us if they're coming or going or changing, and so I do have some concern in that area, and I I want to try and get the cooperation of the program directors. And
I'll just give people a very brief example. Michio Kaku's program Exploration, which I think a lot of stations carry, was tied to the Pacifica Archives days of fundraising earlier this week, and the program that stations got around the country had him raising funds for the archives. In and of itself, that's not a bad thing, but those of us who didn't know that that was happening should have known, and our recommendation was that Pacifica should have advised affiliates that they, if they didn't want to carry a fundraising program, that they play or make an evergreen available to stations of
Yeah, I think
PCO's
actually,
program.
Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't even think it's legal. I think that interrupting regular programming for fundraising is an FCC violation that can have a pretty heavy fine.
It can be unless you make arrangements to do it ahead of time. You actually have to ask permission.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it can be something that would be of great concern. Also, if, for instance, one of the stations was doing fundraising of their own, they wouldn't like to all of a sudden send people away to another station or to the Pacifica network in the middle of their own fund drive. So,
And also, you know, that there's a number of shows like Hard Knock Radio and Flashpoints and Doug Henwood's show where it's not clear whether they're going to continue to syndicate or not because of their status at the local station. And
right.
The point, you know, and the thing with the archives was that usually when Brian does a fund drive, I just harangue everybody about this issue. But I was out of the country. And so, I mean, the point is that there's really a need to make this policy, that this be part of, you know, the checklist of what people, you know, look out for, you know, whether somebody's haranguing them or not. It should just be part of Pacifica policy to check about the national syndication. And I don't know if it's possible to push that through or not, but it certainly affects the credibility of the affiliates program a lot.
Ursula, this is Dina. Can I ask a question?
Hi, Dina.
Mm-hmm. How do you coordinate when various Pacifica stations are having fun drives and maybe affiliates want to tune into a particular show? How do they know that it's fun drive time?
Well, I'm not sure that is a situation that happens too often. What happens more often is that they're taking a show regularly that is from a Pacifica station like Explorations or Flashpoint.
No, I understand that. I was just curious about the random checking in and
It doesn't happen enough to be an issue. I mean, I'm not sure what you mean. Stations don't just like randomly pick up shows from Pacifica stations. It doesn't really happen. It's too complex. Is that what you're asking?
Well, I know that, you know, things happen. A producer, you know, gets caught in the subway and there's nothing programmed for that time and they have to plug in somewhere quickly. You know,
well,
doesn't show up.
Well,
most
affiliates don't take shows live from the air at Pacifica stations. They, like a show that is syndicating, puts their show in audio port.
Okay.
And so it or the satellite and they it's very rare that, you know, because they miss the subway that they don't get their show into audio port. It's not really the same thing.
Yeah, no, you answered it. It goes into
audio
port first.
Okay.
Thank you.
But what does
anybody
happen,
else have some questions for Ursula?
I do.
Okay.
Ursula, do you think that it's conceivable that we will get some affiliation from this contact at AMARC? And my question is, did people express much interest in the audio port function?
I don't think that affiliation is going to be an immediate result of the AMAR conference because there's not a huge amount of interest right now in affiliating with us. People are very locally focused. I think over time, as communication develops, as I hope it will, there will be some more back and forth. I'm not sure exactly what form it'll take. As far as AudioPort goes, yeah, people were interested in it more in the sense that they wanted something similar. You know, I mean, ways to exchange content is a is an issue for all. You know, there's all over the world. Their networks are developing regionally, and content exchange is an issue. And in fact, AMARC itself, there wasn't there. I think there's a committee that sprang up to do something similar for AMARC, because they do have a content exchange facility on their website, but it seems kind of it needs to be updated. It's not very user-friendly, and I don't think it really has the nimbleness that AudioPort does. So there was interest in talking with us and in talking with the Canadians who have copied AudioPort and created their own version that's you know, tweaked according to the, how they want to do it. So there was interest in talking to us about helping AMARC develop a facility like that. You have to understand at this conference there was indifference to the United States to the extreme. I mean, this conference is not about North America in any way yet. They want to, you know, to, I mean, they are talking about a completely different world. So my job was primarily just to tell them that there even was community radio in the United States. That was kind of news to most of them. And some of them were very fascinated by the Pacifica tradition when we told them about it.
Right.
Ursa?
Yeah.
Campbell. And I was wondering if two things, I guess. One, the programming that, you know, would be done abroad, if any of that is done in English, one, and secondly, would the programming be of such quality that, you know, and I guess presentation-wise, that it would be something that we might want to plug into for our stations?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is probably the first thing that will happen. And that's more the approach I took in general with people, in, you know, in asking what, in saying that we were interested in content from their part of the country. Obviously, in a lot of places, language is a problem, but in a lot of places, it's not. And a lot of people said they wanted to do Sprout shows, and so I'm kind of hoping that we'll have a rash of international Sprout shows.
Oh, great.
And I think that's all I've found in general. That's a good way to start a relationship because it's kind of a limited situation, but they kind of get to know us that way. We'll see. But I think that will happen. I think that will happen more and more. And that's kind of what I'm aiming at first, is to get some of their content into AudioPort. That was a conversation that was much more fruitful than anything else. You know, us expressing interest in hearing what was happening with them. And I got pretty warm receptions for that and a lot of business cards, like hundreds of business cards. So, you know, I do think we can start to do that, and I think it would be a really wonderful addition. There's a gentleman that I got to know pretty well named Fadi. I can't remember his last name right now. He was the director of the Palestinian News Network. Apparently, there's a lot of Palestinian community radio stations. And he had a relationship with WBAI in the past, and he asked me to reestablish that because he wanted to begin sending WBAI news again, because they used to do that in the morning show at BAI. So he knew Pacifica very well, and he was very interested in, you know, connecting with us again and, you know, sending us programming.
Okay. Do they would we need to do the translation, or is that something that they might do?
Well, I think we would probably start with countries that could send us English programming.
Okay.
I think. I mean, I don't see us, I mean, having, if we have the capacity to translate, that would be fabulous. But I think that's something we would have to really focus on developing if we wanted to do that.
Okay.
Were there any possible contacts for Free Speech Radio News?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these are contacts for. There were some people there from Free Speech Radio News.
Oh, good.
As well, they do have somebody living in Buenos Aires. She's an American, actually, named Marie. And
she reports for them all the time, and she reported she reported about AMARC on the conference on FSRN.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think FSRN kind of has its own contacts, but I certainly would be willing to share any contacts they wanted if they, you know, if they asked for it, although I suspect Marie got her own arsenal of people.
Chandra or Jessica or Richard, do you have any questions for Ursula? Don't all speak at once.
I had to get off of mute. Ursula, do you lead with the left foot or the right foot on that thing?
Well, I don't lead. I'm the woman.
Right?
I'm the woman.
Guys are supposed
to begin.
I believe Pacifica leads with the left foot.
Oh, there you go.
Well, as far as I know, the man leads with the right and the woman leads with the left. God, it's a beautiful dance. Oh, my God.
It's kind of sexy, too.
Oh, my God.
Do we have any other... I'm interested in moving our agenda along. We could go... I was being overly ambitious and unrealistic to think that the meeting would end by 9, so I want to leave as much room as possible for a discussion about redefining our mission. If anybody has any last questions for Ursula before we move on to approval of the minutes.
I would just have one.
Okay.
And that would be, what would you see as being a good next step for us to take in regard to, you know, say the contacts or the organization itself that sponsored the conference?
I think that... as far as international contacts, I would certainly be interested in working with anybody on this committee that wanted to, you know, form some sort of international outreach process and just hammer out what kind of a presentation we would want to make to all these different people all over the world. And we could, you know, I think that would be a longer discussion, but I certainly would be happy to work with an international work group. I think the other thing is that... we do want to look at the rest of North America and find out what the agenda is. And so if there was a work group who wanted to work with me on this committee that we formed, I think that's very important work right now. That's kind of the work at home. The last thing I want to say is that I have been contacted in the last 3 weeks by 3 Native American stations. There's a lot of Native American stations being built right now because of the 2007 filing window. And they are expressing an interest in being part of Pacifica Network in order to network with each other. And I mention this because I do think that a focus on Native American stations in this coming year would be very beneficial to Pacifica and also a link to the international connection, because the interest among indigenous people in connecting with each other is very intense right now. And I think that for us to look at that and to look at the fact that we're a North American network and that we really have a significant indigenous presence on our network is, I think, an issue of the year that we should, you know, we should begin to really think about and t- talk about how we want to do that.
This is Teresa. I want to say something, too.
Go for it.
I'm reading on the Grassroots Radio Conference listserv the conversation about anticipated cuts to the budget. And just from what you've said, Ursula, I think it would be useful for you to write just like three paragraphs and say, you know, we have sent a representative to AMARC. There were over 250 people there representing X number of countries where community radio is thriving, and we encourage our senators and congresspersons to approve the budget and fund community radio, because it is a shame to think that community radio in some of the third world countries is more healthy than what we have in the United States.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, and I this is a little bit off topic, but in terms of mission for the task force, I do think that we are heading into a whole new reality with this Congress in terms of funding for public radio, period, and I think a work group of the Affiliates Task Force that begins to address this situation would be really a beneficial thing. We're in big trouble on a lot of fronts.
Well, Ursula, if I had a letter like that, I would send it to my senator. I would also send portions of it to my local newspaper. And the comment that you made about their mission being very linked to the concept of democracy.
Yeah.
I think that, and some of the things that Rip Robbins and others have said about how, you know, the media and community is very important, I think that we ought to put that in the newspapers. We ought to write letters to the editor. And I think I don't think it would hurt for us to have just a brief, you know, letter that goes out to, that we can send to our senators.
Well, maybe you can help me put something like that together, Teresa.
I would be happy to do that.
Okay.
And just an addendum to that, I'm going to Washington, D.C., because I've been invited to a conference that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is doing on the future of funding for public broadcasting in this country.
Wow.
On December 2nd and 3rd. And I would be glad to carry forward something from Pacifica and or the Pacifica Affiliates Program, Pacifica, I guess, get to the right people. I think it would be good. I don't think anybody from Pacifica per se is going, but I would be glad to present anything from Pacifica that
we should
want carried forward. So.
We should
definitely prepare something for that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when we prepare the letter, we should send it out to the GRC and the affiliates and say, feel free to quote from this letter and send it to your congresspersons, to all of our affiliates to start, you know, lobbying and speaking out in public about this subject.
Yeah, and just one more thing. I know we have to move on, but this week there's a desperate need to communicate to Congress about the low-power station law. They're just on the verge of killing it, and they're desperately looking for people that are either from Wyoming or one other state. I can't remember. So I'm going to post that to the task force listserv. There's two states that are blocking it, and I don't know. It's really tough right now. So there's a need this week. To open up the low power again, to allow them to file for low power stations again. And it's not looking good. So
you should post it to the GRC also.
Oh, it's been posted to the GRC.
Okay.
Yeah, Nan Rubin did. But I'll post it to you too, just in case somebody here knows somebody from those states that could, get the word out to write to their senators. One of them's Wyoming. I can't remember the other one right now.
I think it might be nice if Arlene issued a letter on that subject.
Just to let you know, I know she's really got her hands full right now, but I did contact Arlene to let her know that I would be attending this meeting, that and that I would be glad to bring anything to the table that Pacifica wanted me to. So.
Okay.
When do you leave, Jim?
The meeting is on December 2nd and 3rd in Washington, D.C., and I'll be getting there on December 1st in the evening. So. But I can get it by email. And
I will try to get with Ursula and get this letter to you. ASAP.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do some work around that.
One other thing, I'm telling everyone on this call, I took Ursula's four letters from Argentina and sent it to my local station board and the people who are coming onto my local station board. I probably should have sent it to my CAB also, Community Advisory Board. But I encourage you to take Ursula's letters and send it to, to get something to our local station board. We just have, you send lsb at kpft.org and everyone gets it. I don't know if you have that, or I would have, if I knew you'd have that, I would have sent it to your LSBs also. But I encourage you to do that, especially to make sure that the national board knows that we had a presence at AMARC.
Can you send it out through the task force listserv?
Yeah, I will. I think I sent the first one, and then I just got kind of overwhelmed with technical problems, but I'll send them, and I'm kind of writing a wrap-up letter now, and I'll send that to the task force as well.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I on the way to the airport, I left my camera in the taxi, so it's devastating. I had so many pictures I wanted to share with you.
Well, I would contact the woman from Argentina that you said you met. They might have lost and found.
Oh, no, we've traced it all the way to the taxi cab driver. It's gone.
Mm.
I mean, we talked to the taxi cab driver. It's gone.
Yeah.
So that's...
It evaporated in the back seat, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on if we can. And Teresa, would you like to handle... us approving the minutes that you sent out to us a while ago?
Yes.
Can I just put a thing in just for a moment?
Sure.
Ursula, I just wanted to commend you, I'm sure, on behalf of the rest of our task force members for the outstanding work that you did there and, you know, for the kind of engagement that you just continue to demonstrate in regard to advancing issues and interests of the Affiliates Task Force.
Thank you.
And it was really inspiring to see all the kind of support that you had from people as affiliates around the country to get you to Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That was great.
I have a question.
Yes?
This is Jessica for KPFT. I had a real quick question. If things were to go smooth, how much time are we talking to maybe getting programming back and forth between not only the Native American but the Argentinian networks? What do you see might be an estimated time of arrival, so to speak, for something like that to be, you know, approved and completed and maybe sought for, like maybe on an HD2 channel for us?
Well, I think it could happen, you know, with as quickly as we want. I think that with some people, like, you know, the more highly productive groups, they could do it in a few weeks. It's just a matter of writing to them and telling them what we want and having them upload it into AudioPort. It's really, the technology is simple. It's just, it's just a matter of contacting people and talking to them. But I don't think it's something that would take a long time. You know, and if somebody made a concerted effort to reach a particular group, you could probably have shows within a few days. Is my sense.
And also, thank you for going and doing the hard work. I know what you did. I could not compare or make up to you for just one day, you know, doing what you did. So thanks for going out and doing that and representing for us who, you know, couldn't.
Thank you.
Okay, Teresa, do you want to see if we can get the minutes approved from previous meetings?
Yes. There are four sets of minutes that I sent out, and they were dated July 8th, August 12th, September 9th,
Eric.
And September 14th.
Okay.
Could I ask that we approve July 8th of 10, the minutes?
You're fading off there, Teresa.
Could I ask that this group, if there's anyone that objects to the July 8th of 10 minutes, please state that now. Hearing no objection.
I was looking at the minutes all the way around.
Okay. Do we have any objection to approving the August 12th of 2010 minutes?
No.
Hearing none, then those are approved. Do we have any objection to the September 9th of 10 minutes? Hearing none, those are approved. Do we have any objection to the October 14th of 10 minutes?
I had a question.
Yes.
On those minutes, I noted that there was...
October 14th?
Right.
Okay.
I noted that there was, Mitch Cohen had mentioned additions to the agenda regarding plans to provide assistance to the affiliates, what kind of assistance was going to be provided, etc. And I'm trying to see if there was anything that, as I recall, we had at that time, there was provided for that meeting, as I recall, I'd prepared a thing from the subgroup, or whatever we call the mini task force, that was shared at that meeting. Was that correct, or am I recalling incorrectly here?
I thought there were four things that Mitch Cohen added. We talked about the San Francisco Mime Troupe,
mm-hmm.
and Afia moved that be sent to Jamie Ross, and there was no objection to that. Now,
mm-hmm.
I don't know who sent, actually, I did not ask who sent that to Jamie Ross. Second item was that we add a discussion of how Pacifica best serves the needs of the affiliates, which we're addressing today, and I moved that we discuss it at this meeting. And then he moved to add, coordinate with affiliates to put important stories on radio shows. And that was moved to this meeting. And then he moved for a discussion of Audioport, and that was made part of the affiliates coordinator's report. So those are four things that I remember him doing. So actually,
right. Well, what I was thinking was that in regard to that, the report that I'd given on behalf of our subgroup,
mm-hmm.
On I guess it was what, 2nd or 3rd of October in New York, was also provided for the group, and you know, maybe there could be a notation that this was, you know, submitted, a report was submitted. And, you know, the notion was that report would be part of the discussion that we would be having at this meeting.
Okay.
Campbell, I'd like to jump in on that, if I
sure.
may. What you put together had to do with structure,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be talking about mission, because my thinking is to talk about structure before you have defined what your vision is, and what you are about is putting the cart before the horse.
Well, it wasn't just simply structure. It talked about goals, and you know, then it wasn't just a structure. It was form that was following function, and the function was, you know, spelled out in the early part of that report. I think there are about five or six items. I don't have it right in front of me at present, but there are five or six items in so far as goals that were mentioned, and then it wasn't so heavy. It was not a heavily structured oriented document. The next thing that would be taking place was an action item in terms of surveying the affiliates and finding out what their interests and needs and desires were. And then at that sort of going on a parallel track, another group of folks could be working on researching funding and whatnot like that. So it wasn't just a structural.
Yeah, but that's all related to function. And I think that in reality, we've got to...
We're actually getting into the discussion that we were about to have before we've approved the minutes. Can we actually approve the minutes?
Yes. Just that addition that a report was submitted.
Okay.
I want to make sure I understand this. Somewhere, let's see if I understand this, Campbell, somewhere in the minutes, you want me to notate that a report from your subcommittee was sent out to the affiliate task force. Is that right? Okay.
Right.
I will put that in section 6C.
Yeah.
Okay?
What I've usually done when I've recorded minutes, that I would put all the submitted reports and stuff in one place. And generally I put them right in the front so that, you know, as people were reviewing it, they would know, you know, kind of like have a place marker as to where we were. But that's fine. No problem.
I think that if I understand correctly, the affiliate task force work listserv does not handle attachments very well.
Oh, okay.
So if I can get these minutes to Otis McClay or someone who will put them on the website, I will try to give them that report also to be put somewhere on our website. And I'll make
Teresa, I can also show you how to upload them there. There's not attachments on the listserv, but there's an archive of files, which is kind of the same thing.
Okay. Well, if I send them to you, can you put them in there?
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Oh, Ursula, thank you. Isn't?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ursula.
You're welcome.
I know you're sorely overworked, but I sure do appreciate that.
No, okay. I'll put them up. Yeah.
All right. So, do we have any objection to these minutes as amended, the October 14th of 10. Okay, so, Mr. Chair, that was approved also. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. And now I'd like to, if we can, in the next 20 minutes, complete a discussion about the mission of the task force. And the way that I would like to go about it is to have the people who have been involved in the task force the longest, I believe that's Dina, Chandra, and Ursula, talk about the original mission of the task force, not necessarily going through the entire history of the task force, but talking about it from your viewpoint about what is important to keep from the original mission of the task force and what is the most relevant to us moving forward with a task force. But to have you three really be able to start our conversation.
Well, this is Dina, and I don't mind starting it, but Teresa was really in the beginning, and Chandra...
Okay, we'll throw her in too.
Okay, and Chandra came in later.
Okay.
Just for clarity's sake.
All right, thank you.
I actually don't want to go back. I would like to just go to what Chandra and I wrote to the PNB and just highlight the recommendations, which include things from the past and where we want to take it. And then I might want to add one or two things. But
sounds good.
The first thing was to focus on communication and expansion of the network. So with communication, I guess the new would be, especially because we're now really looking at possible international connections, as well as expanding the network within the, you know, nationally. Communication could be a monthly newsletter that goes out to be read at all LSBs and to all affiliates it would mean part of what the affiliate task force would be about. I'm fantasizing, but it would have the directors from the affiliates writing a column. It would be something from certainly Ursula writing what's going on, and then maybe some of the committee works that would be thrilling if the committees were actually working. What was going on between affiliates and Pacifica? So that's one recommendation. Another recommendation, of course, is the practice of sustaining and expanding grassroots community radio. So it's a mutual benefit, both for, sharing program, resources, information, and economic stability. We felt that anyone could join the affiliate station. I know it's certain people feel that that's like an overwhelm because we have so many stations, but our experience tells us that we've never had more than maybe four or five affiliates join us on any particular month. It would be a joy to have more, but this is a working committee, and we know how precious time is for everybody, and the affiliates have their own work to do. I love the idea of working with Ursula in a new way of networking, the networking committee that she wants to work with internationally. I think that's something new and fresh and something we can move forward with. And we, in our document that we sent, recommended implementation of the following goals, and it was based on the original PACE report that AFIA has mentioned, but that Ursula primarily wrote. And that's to foster greater understanding, awareness, and increase collaboration between Pacifica Network and its affiliate stations. Two is to identify and develop shared resources. Three is to promote shared programming. Four is to expand the Pacifica affiliate network. And five is to advocate for independent community media as part of a national and global movement. And I think that sums it up. And the last part of this, I think that we did have, a lot of this had to do with collaboration, but it's understanding and acknowledging that the use of a code of conduct for which our meetings are run in order to accommodate affiliates who do not use Robert's Rules of Order, as long as we have an equal basis in which they can participate. The only one we know is like one we're using tonight, which is just decorum, just respecting each other and recognizing the questioners in an orderly fashion. That's it, because there's got to be time for other people.